Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today it's just me. I am not joined by anyone because we are doing a special recap, a highlight reel, a clip show, if you will, of listener favorites from 2023. I know it's well into 2024 by now, even though I haven't written it down on a piece of paper yet, but we wanted to gather up some clips from the most listened to podcast episodes of our 2023 season. And it was really hard to pick these out because originally we were going to list our favorite episodes in addition to listener favorites, but we figured that would be an epic episode. And also, it was too hard to pick because I really love everything that we've done in 2023, and I'm proud of the conversations that we've had, and I learned a lot, and I think that you will too if you haven't heard these episodes yet, and if you haven't, I suggest that you go back and listen to them in their full form, but for now, enjoy this highlight reel of the listener favorite episodes of 2023. So first up, we have episode 5 of season 8. It is called The Complexities of Cannabis Use Disorder. And in this episode, I interviewed Dr. Grinspoon about how complicated cannabis use disorder is to discuss because language hasn't evolved in such a way where addiction and dependency are discussed in a non-shameful, non-judgmental way. And so having these conversations is a little tricky, and it helps to have someone with a medical background who can speak thoroughly about substance abuse disorder and addiction. So I highly recommend checking out the full episode if you haven't yet, because it's really important to understand why these terms are being used in medical settings. And it's also important to empower ourselves as cannabis consumers when we're trying to be our own advocate. And completely ignoring the conversation because you don't agree with it only delegitimizes something that is so powerful. Basically what I'm trying to say is that it really helps to hear all sides and understand why this discussion is so important. What I really would love to have you dig into more is cannabis use disorder. So, what is a common misconception or something you wish people knew about cannabis use disorder?
Well, cannabis use disorder is the series of criteria that the psychiatrists use to define cannabis addiction. So, cannabis use disorder and cannabis addiction are sort of synonymous. And I think both sides of the issue, the pro-cannabis people and the anti-cannabis people, both have misconceptions about cannabis use disorder. So that's a great question. The pro-cannabis people tend to think cannabis isn't addictive and to dismiss cannabis addiction. And in fact, it can be addictive. And just like any other addiction, it can really take over someone's life and needs to be responded to with empathy, understanding, and high-quality treatment. So I think the fact that cannabis can be addictive and can really derail people's lives is one misconception. On the other hand, the anti-cannabis people are really exaggerate how many people are addicted to cannabis. The criteria for cannabis use disorder, cannabis addiction, you only need 2 out of 11 criteria to qualify. And for example, one of the criteria is tolerance, and another of the criteria is withdrawal. Now, when we prescribe opiates to people medicinally, we don't include tolerance or withdrawal because everybody who uses opiates medicinally has tolerance to the medication and gets withdrawal when they stop taking it. So 100% of our opiate patients would be addicted to opiates if we included those. Why rope in and pathologize all these medicinal patients for no reason? Yet with cannabis, due to stigma, due to the drug war, and due to like old-fashioned sort of anti-cannabis thinking, in my opinion, I go over this very, very meticulously in my book. That's a very controversial but hard-hitting chapter about cannabis addiction, I think that the psychiatrists are, by including tolerance and withdrawal, they also use things like cravings. You know, these are things, tolerance and withdrawal, you'd get with your benzodiazepine, with alcohol, with your antidepressant. And, you know, most medical cannabis patients have tolerance and withdrawal. So the way cannabis use disorder or cannabis addiction is defined ropes in needlessly and needlessly pathologizes many of the medical cannabis patients. And they, by doing so, they exaggerate the numbers of cannabis addiction. And you know what? You wonder why they do this. Is it just not understanding cannabis, or is it because they've been on the anti side of all the legalization debates, and this is a good weapon to use? Oh, look, 30% of adult cannabis users get addicted to it. I mean, the number we don't know because our definition is broken, but it's probably like 2 to 5%. It's not 30%. You know, Dr. Lena Wen just had an op-ed in the Washington Post a week ago saying 30% of American adults get addicted to cannabis. That's because of these, like, really flawed and overly broad criteria. And when you give someone a definition of addiction and they don't have an addiction, you're harming them. There's a lot of stigma. People don't get treated as well by their doctor if they see the word addiction. They don't get pain medications. We need to change how people with addiction are treated, which is what my first book was about. But we need to not be diagnosing people who don't have an addiction with an addiction, including and especially to cannabis, if you're a medical cannabis patient. So I think it is addictive. It's just not nearly as addictive as the psychiatrists say it is. We need to have much better criteria so that we're not roping in people who aren't addicted, but we are helping people who are addicted. And then the final thing I'll say, having been addicted to opiates, the quality of a cannabis addiction is different than the quality of, for example, an opiate addiction. Nobody's like robbing pharmacies or injuring themselves to get opiates. It doesn't like take over your life. The withdrawal symptoms for cannabis, if you're a heavy user and you stop it, or, you know, you get grumpy, you don't sleep well, it's hard to eat, they're bad, they're noxious, they're uncomfortable, but they're not like the soul-crushing withdrawal symptoms from opiate use disorder that cause people to do these desperate things. And you don't die from them like you would from a withdrawal from alcohol or from benzodiazepines like Valium. So I think we need to accept the reality of cannabis addiction, but put it in context and not exaggerate it, so we're not actually harming people by overdiagnosing it.
Next up, we have episode 15 of season 8. And that episode was titled Journeys Through the Cannabis Landscape from Louisiana to Connecticut. In this episode, I was able to talk to Charity Moran of Sow and Reap, and she gives us some insight about cannatourism and what that looks like in a prohibition state. Also in that episode, we get to hear from Kristen Souza about the Connecticut cannabis scene, and I know it has changed quite a bit since we spoke to her, but I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I suggest that you go back and listen to the whole episode if you haven't, because it's jam-packed with information, and it was very entertaining. It was a lot of fun to record, but we also touched on a lot of important topics. So in this next clip, you'll hear from Charity, and she talks a bit about the travel industry, the cannabis travel industry. And so, like, with the current economy being what it is, are you finding people are, you know, holding back on this type of travel experience?
Yeah. So, you know, we've been around and doing this since 2015. And I'm going to be honest, it really is on us, the business owner, to make sure we're putting information out there in advance enough. I'm finding that folks are more than willing and very happy to come, especially after the pandemic. But it's like, you got to give me more time.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. Not to cut you off, but I have been seeing that. Like, I've seen some offerings out there that I'm like, I would love to do that, but I need like a solid year to plan financially, especially right now. And they'll be like in 2 months or something, you know? It's like, wait, what? Who has that kind of life right now?
Like, and you know, being fully transparent, that was our learning curve. Immediately after the pandemic, people were still willing, But it's like, I got to really consider the economy. I've got to consider what do I need to do as a business owner to make the luxury affordable?
Mm-hmm.
And so that then the onus became on me to secure partnerships and sponsorships and, you know, network and collaborate so that I can decrease the cost to the customer, one, and then, you know, make sure our guests have an advanced notice. So folks who have signed up for the newsletter, they already know next year's calendar, and it's not on the website as it stands right now. And that's just some of the benefits of kind of getting people to tap into our newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they can get that longer runway. But then right after our Friendsgiving supper series in November, we'll be announcing next year's entire calendar to give people that runway.
Wow.
So that they, you know, so we're doing our best to make sure that we're not cheapening the experience,
yeah.
That the luxury is affordable. And then when they get there, that experience is just, you know, worth every penny.
That's amazing. And do you offer any kind of like payment arrangements for people who are part of the club?
Absolutely. So next year we'll be, and this is being announced in the newsletter, we'll have a subscription, like a travel club membership. And then for those who are not interested in the membership, there are options to establish a payment plan. So maybe you do want to join us to Afrofuture Fest next December in Ghana, then start signing up for the newsletter now, make a deposit and either join the subscription membership club or, you know, make those payment arrangements. But a deposit is always going to happen, you know, just to secure your spot.
Ever feel like life stress gets to be too much? Welcome to Mitra Gaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's mitragaya.com. And code YHPOD for 10% off. The next episode is episode 2 of season 8, titled Sapaz's Stories. So in this episode, I got to interview the lovely Laura Beener, who is the co-founder of The Healing Rose, about suppositories, because the Healing Rose offers an incredible line of them, and also because it is a conversation that some people have a hard time or have difficulty with, I should say, because it might seem too personal, right? But the reality is suppositories are an extremely effective delivery method for medicine for many people, and it's time to destigmatize the use of suppositories and also try them out if you haven't yet. There are a lot of benefits to using suppositories, especially the CBD ones that Laura offers through the Healing Rose. And in this episode, she talks about the personal reason for carrying this product and her hopes for having these conversations continue. So listen to it in its entirety, because the episode is really jam-packed. And there are some other things in the episode, such as a travel segment with V. Castillo. So I definitely recommend listening to the whole thing. What made you decide to create suppositories?
Sure. So I believe it was 2018 when we actually started making them. So it's going on 5 years now that we've been making them off market and strictly just been giving them out to people in need. I've given out thousands and thousands of them. It's kind of just been this like secret mission and also research period of seeing how they work long-term for people dealing with serious conditions. And what really started it was in 2018, our first employee had really, really, really bad colitis. Like, she was young. She was in her early 20s, almost had to be hospitalized in college. She was that severe. It was all throughout her intestines or lower intestines. And when I first started, you know, making the products, I also was going, what other modalities are there to use cannabis besides just eating and smoking? And suppositories had always been there in the back of my mind as this really amazing, effective, you know, product that people just really are afraid to talk about. It's really hard to find. And there just really wasn't enough conversation about it. So we started making them and using them with our employee, and she saw so much improvement. It was incredible. I mean, she also ate a really clean diet. She was using cannabis in other ways, but through those 3.5-4 years of her using them, and she still uses them today, even though she's not with the company, but she was for 3 years with us. So we got to, you know, do that over almost her 3-year time with us. She actually healed almost all of the inflammation in her intestines, except for one small area. So the last time she got the colonoscopy, they were just like mind blown with how much the inflammation had healed. And then also my brother has really bad colitis. He's also in law enforcement, so he can't use cannabis, how we traditionally think of using cannabis or any kind of THC. And he will now not go a day without using a suppository, and he's been using them for over 2 years. So it really was like helping people around me who were suffering and feeling like they were hopeless. And that's why we started making the products. Literally, like I said, I've been making these for years and years, just trying to get them out to people and trying to help people and being able to help so many other people now. We even have a customer who dealt with very severe rectal cancer, and she feels like the suppositories are really the only thing that's able to provide her any kind of like after care from dealing with that. I mean, she's in remission, but she still has a lot of damage.
I imagine.
From going through that. So those type of stories just like inspire you to just want to create that product and just put it everywhere.
That's amazing. And I mean, because especially when you have digestive issues, and I hate to say digestive issues, I have Crohn's disease, and I don't like it when people just say that, because it doesn't really encompass the hellscape that is IBDs, irritable women. No, is it? It's not irritable. I'm going to mess this up already. I know it's IBD, but it's not IBS. And people conflate the two. And anyway, my whole point of this is that there are a lot of things that you're prescribed that only make it worse. And it's not even so much just the medicine itself, which does cause a litany of issues. But as I'm sure you're aware, what the suppositories kind of help with that, like, pills can't, is that there are, like, gelatin, you know, capsules. There is other ingredients in the medication that makes it really difficult and sometimes even impossible for your body to absorb. And especially when you're so inflamed, like, when your tract is so inflamed. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're not processing things in your body the way that you should be, right? So that's, I feel like, a really ingenious way to, and I'm sure you had all of these people who were in a desperate situation, and this is like such a great answer because of that in itself. But also, I'm sure you also had a little bit of pushback from those people who have to get colonoscopies all the time, because I know from my own personal experience, when I hear suppository, I'm like,
Yeah, and I totally get that.
So in what way do you recommend like mentally and physically preparing to use suppositories?
Sure. So I think a great time of the day to use it would be right before bed. You want to be relaxed. You want to be calm. You want to make sure your muscles are, you know, loose and you are mentally free of anxiety, so that the whole process isn't going to just, you know, be a very stressful and maybe not successful process if you really are anxious. So I always recommend people, maybe they lay on their back on their bed, they're relaxed. They need to use washed hands. If you want to use a glove, obviously that works too. But you just want to relax and allow it to enter your body either rectally or vaginally. And it can take like 10 to 20 plus minutes for it to absorb. So if you do have time, ideally you just lay back, let it absorb into your body. But yeah, it can be a lot for people to kind of break through just trying it for the first time. And then once you kind of get your own little system going, you realize it's not really a big deal. Just to like incorporate it as part of your daily routine. And like I said, before bed, is such a great time for it to really absorb into your body and make sure that you're getting the most out of it.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. This episode was produced by Your Highness Media. Audio editing by J.R. Crash. Intro music by Your Mom Likes My Music. Subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter, for the latest announcements and event updates.